Send a movie idea.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules here are simple. We can discuss as many film ideas as we like, sent in by you, the listener, but only one can make it through to the next stage where, thanks to Hollywood strike action, it will be written by, made and star exclusively of volunteers from my local Amdram Society. I'm Joel, a man who puts the lad in solidarity with the workers. And across from me is John Harris, a man who, despite the political leanings of his family, did actually attend the student tuition fee strikes of 2011. Hello, John.
Hello, mate. All right. Way to bring my family into this.
They're good guys. Broadly good guys.
When's the podcast union starting? When's the podcast strikes happening?
Oh, yeah. I'd be down on the picket line. Straight away, I don't really know what I'm campaigning for. Better working hours on Dream Factory.
Fewer podcasts hosted by two white males who don't really know enough about the subject they specialise in.
I hate those. I'd get rid of those in a heartbeat, actually. How you doing, John?
All right, thank you. How are you? For the listener, it's been a week, but for us, it's been three.
It's been so long. I guess, look, we're actually here to pitch film ideas, so people that are interested in my life can listen to my other podcast, My Life by Joel. No, they can hear all about it at the very end of the show, John, because we're here, as I say, to pitch movie ideas. How about this one from Nathan? Children of the Corn. It's the band Corn. The scary band Corn, and you know they're scary because the R in Corn is backwards.
Terrifying.
Like a little demon might write.
The new metal, they're sort of part of new metal. They had dreadlocks. They best known for the song Freak on a Leash, which has a sort of extended scat section in the middle where he goes, ooh,
yes. Yes. Did they do a big cover as well?
Possibly.
Do I know them for a cover? Corn.
There was an era of sort of rock bands doing covers that were sort of their most famous.
Oh, I put in Corn songs, John. It's all just country music about people on the farm.
Well, so Children of the Corn, not that I've seen any, but they are a horror series sort of based in rural America. Mm-hmm. And sort of if you're sort of out in the fields at night and you hear, you know, a dreadlocked being from the distance go, ooh, you'd be pretty scared.
I'd be really scared, actually. Yeah. I don't know anything about Children of the Corn. Do their eyes go white? Is that what happens? They get big glowing faces and they're spooky kind of kids?
I didn't even think it was children. So the band Corn is, via their music...
They're not children.
It's based in the early noughties when Corn were at their most powerful. And via their...
Well, we all remember when Corn were at their most powerful.
It was their, you know... Them and Limp Bizkit. Limp Bizkit are in the sequel. So Korn, all the kids are listening to Korn cassettes or mini discs or whatever format they would have been listening to Korn on at the time. You know, there's like the big satanic panic about the idea of reverse messages in music. That I feel like that hasn't been used as a sort of horror device. And I feel like maybe we could do it with this. So, you know, they're listening to Korn. They think they're just listening to the innocent, lovely song, Freak on a Leash. But it turns out at night they're becoming children of the Korn. So they're sort of slowly growing dreads and sort of going, ooh, ah, 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 ah.
That's good. I like that. And in the end, we just end up with a million of Korn kids.
A million Korn kids. And then what's the genre that came out after? It was probably like emo pop punk. So I don't know, Fall Out Boy have to sort of drive in a van to kill all the
corn kids.
They have
to riff them to death. It's good stuff, John. I like it.
I don't mind it at all. I would watch that film.
Why do you think Korn reversed the R in their name? Is that, does it mean anything?
Like you say, it just looks cool, right? There's I'm trying to think what other band. You know, there was a big era of X's and Z's in band names.
Mm.
There's just something hard about. And also, it's a K rather than a C, which I feel like we need to focus on.
There's a lot going on there. John, give me a film idea.
Oh gosh, yeah. What about this one from Beck, The Royal Tennis Bums?
Right. There's that photo of a woman playing tennis.
That's what came to my mind, right?
You see her bum.
If that feels like an image. Look, it's not directly my sexual awakening, but it's definitely the first one of the first images.
It was hanging around. Exactly. It was hanging around during the sexual awakening.
I saw it when I was too young and thought, okay, hello.
Well, it's the sexiest photo ever taken. You know, it's famously the sexiest thing ever committed to film. It's a woman approaching a tennis net, and is she scratching her ass?
She's either scratching or pulling it out of
There's some readjustment going on.
Yeah.
Maybe she's tucking a tennis ball into her waistband because, you know, you need a few tennis balls on hand for first serve, second serve, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it could be that. It could be purely practical. So it's in this film, that's Prince Charles.
Sexy.
Is that what we're saying?
Yeah.
It is still very sexy, isn't it?
Well, one thing I need to... You know when they bring, like, in tennis, the players will sort of take three balls and then pick one, right?
Yeah.
Is that just pure sort of... gobbledygook.
It's pure vibes. Yeah. No, I think a lot of tennis players have very stringent routines to get them in the zone. Like Nadal would like bounce a ball 17 times. He would tuck his hair behind his ears. He would adjust his shorts every single serve. So I think just eyeing up the three balls and picking one is just all part of the routine. I don't think they look at the three balls and are like, that second one's got an ace in it.
I can only apologize for not knowing the source of this because I definitely heard it on a podcast or saw it in a video recently. So apologies for not having the source on this. But did you know that David Attenborough is the reason that the tennis balls are bright yellow or green, depending on how you see things?
What do you mean?
Because he was like a big TV bod, right? So he wasn't just, he's not just the nature documentary.
He's like Richard Osman.
He sort of looked after the BBC and their transition into colour television. And when it transferred into colour television, the white tennis balls on the white lines on an old school sort of old telly just was impossible to decipher. So he said, why not make them bright yellow?
Wow. He changed all of tennis. That's pretty crazy.
That is nuts, isn't it?
I reckon his shit, like, imagine how shit Blue Planet was before colour TV. Grey Planet.
Just sort of a little...
Here we have the blue whale against the blue sea in a sea of grey. It would be pretty rubbish.
That is true.
Do they do black and white nature documentaries? They must have done.
And yeah, they must be there going, here is a peacock. Trust me, the colours are wonderful.
Yeah.
Just go with it.
This thing's fucking crazy.
Like showing a chameleon, like changing its colours and you'd be like, just different shades of grey.
Yeah, 50 shades of grey. Well, they used to televise snooker in black and white. Are absolutely ridiculous. Like the commentators were working overtime when everything was in black and white.
Have you seen, there's a TikTok trend that I get served a bit, which is where they'll show you someone painting just a single like blob of colour in black and white. And you have to, based on vibes, work out what the colour's going to be. And at the end, it reveals what colour it is.
That's wild.
I've got a sort of 50-50 hit rate, so it's fun.
Apparently, Charlie Chaplin would dye his moustache crazy colours just to entertain the cast on set. And his suits were always wacky colours, but we never ever got to enjoy it.
Someone should like recolour them. And yeah, just every scene, it's a different sort of colour from...
Just make them look crazy.
Can I take us back to the Royal Tennis Bums?
Yeah.
Because I would argue that... A big section of the public. Oh my gosh, I can't say the word.
This is exciting.
A big section of the public. What's the word I'm looking for?
You don't know if
public.
You want to say population or public.
That's
publication.
And I'm coming up with publication, which is a different word altogether. A big section of the public would argue that they are big bums. The royals. They just sort of sit around on their backsides.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll say.
So it could just be that.
Do you think Prince Charles could hold a tennis racket?
That is a very royal sport, isn't it?
But have you seen his fingers, John?
Yeah, I have actually.
I think he could either hold no tennis racket or successfully hold five. I don't really understand sort of the laws of the fingers, but maybe they're so powerful because of their size, he could hold 5 tennis rackets and he'd look like that guy from Star Wars.
Perfect.
With all the lightsabers. General Grievous?
Yeah.
Who'd be a formidable tennis opponent. Okay, how about this one from Oscar? 8 Mile, spelled A-T-E.
You're having to explain the spelling of all yours today.
I'm even going to explain the spelling of ones that don't require it. So look forward to that. I don't really know what 8 Mile is. Is it 8 Mile, but instead of a rap battle, it's one of the hot dog eating competitions.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. Yeah. So
eat a mile of hot dogs. First to eat a whole mile of hot dogs. Isn't it Joey? Is Joey Chestnut the guy? He's the guy with all the records. He's the guy that has eaten like 72 hot dogs in one go.
And he like dunks them in water, right? And then he eats it all separately. Yeah, it's disgusting.
You open your throat like a pelican or something and just chuck a hot dog down. No one ever talks about the next day. Would it even be the next day, John, or would it be several days later when you're dealing with the aftermath of 72 hot dogs?
That's true. Like, I watch a YouTube channel, I don't know if you've heard of it, called Beard Versus Food, and it is a man with a big beard and he goes around
completing
food contests. Yeah. He's brilliant. And it genuinely is to the point where like he'll either complete them easily or they are humanly impossible. That if he doesn't do it, it's just humanly impossible. And also as a bit of a flex, he will more frequently than not, he will order a dessert after he's finished the food challenge.
That is good stuff. Well, famously, that's a separate stomach to your normal stomach. If anyone that's ever been out for dinner and felt like they've eaten too much, there is always room for pudding. So I think that's fine. I think that's to be considered a different thing from the eating challenge.
True. Pathetic, if you ask me. He should do a pudding eating challenge after the main eating challenge.
Some sort of cheese and biscuit eating challenge. I don't know, like eat 1,000 after eights.
But you're right. My point, maybe he's already uploaded a video like this and it just hasn't got any views. But I want a day after video where he's just sort of lying on a sofa groaning.
Screaming, yeah. Spending 3 hours on the toilet. That's what I want to see.
You've heard it here first, team. What's the film we're doing here?
Oh, Eight Mile. We've done it.
Yeah.
Give me another one.
What about this one from Martin? First up, I need to apologize to Martin because the film Chariots of Fear was his idea, and in the process of me copying and pasting ideas to another document, I must have attributed it to the wrong listener. So I can only apologize, Martin. Chariots of Fear is all yours. So this one from Martin is Black Hawk Down. A young boy befriends a bird of prey in order to have some of its softest feathers.
Oh.
Kez? Is it Kez? Is that the...
I guess it's Kez, but I don't think Kez was being plucked.
No.
Do feathers... This is going to be thick. Do feathers grow back?
That, you know what? It sounds thick, but I don't have an answer, so I cannot call you thick.
Do feathers grow back? It feels like quite a complicated thing to grow, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Plumage like that. Because sometimes you see a feather, John, and it's like a quill.
Oh,
it literally
yeah.
is. Is that little thing, the little hard end, does that grow back? Do feathers grow back?
I don't know.
So it would be a real gift from this hawk if feathers are unable to be regrown.
Yeah, that's true. Could he just not wait around till sort of enough feathers fall off? What is he doing? Is he making a big sort of feather boa? Is that the plan?
Yeah, maybe it's a big feather boa to impress his girlfriend.
Because Black Hawk Down, the film, is...
That's what it's about, right?
He's down in enemy lines, right? And so it's a survival movie of a man behind enemy lines.
Yeah.
How can you make that? How can we insert some of that DNA?
I'm all over it, John. Don't you worry. His helicopter gets shot down. He's got no means of escape unless he can make himself a pair of wings from the feathers of an actual hawk and fly away from behind enemy lines. Oh, there you go.
We really salvaged that one from nowhere.
We did. How about this one from Dan? The Toll Monty, that's Toll spelled T-U-L-L, an aging Ian Anderson and his band resort to desperate measures to sell tickets to their tour. So it's Jethro Toll and they're getting their Jethros out to make the show. It's for sex appeal to the show. I don't think there's anyone that is not going to a Jethro Toll concert
who would be tempted
upon
by
hearing that they're going to get their dicks out. That they would then buy a ticket to a Jethro Tull concert. I'm not sure there's any artist where that would... No, I don't really want to see Ed Sheeran. But have you heard in the encore?
He gets naked.
I don't think I'm going. Harry Styles?
I was
going
to say, if Harry Styles or sort of any... you know, there are loads of people, Joel, that if they said, oh, by the way, at the end of this... And they're going to get naked of their own volition.
That's why you and I went to see Equinox starring Daniel Radcliffe, isn't it?
I did not see that, but
We pretended we liked horses, but we didn't.
I hate horses.
We hated horses. We actually couldn't stand. We walked out after. Where the second Daniel Radcliffe walked out on stage, knob out, we cheered and left the theatre.
But it's art.
I've got my money's worth.
Right, so that's theatre and that's art. I think if someone said Harry Styles gets naked at the end of the set, there would need to be a good justification. Otherwise, it is just to shift tickets.
Yeah, it's just a ticket shifter. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it would work. It would work. You're right. It would totally work.
I've already forgotten the film, Joel. Oh, Jeffro Tull.
It was about Jeffro Tull. You know, they're old men. No one wants to go look at
that. The only thing I am aware, they have a great Christmas song and they are a prog rock band that use a lot of flutes. So there could be some fun to be had with covering their stuff with flutes.
Maybe for too long, the Red Hot Chili Peppers have monopolized the market when it comes to being naked on stage.
Yeah.
And it is time. It's time for more bands.
Take that out, naked.
Oh, okay. I didn't know whether you were saying, take that, Red Hot Chili Peppers. We're all getting naked. But you're suggesting, yeah, maybe more naked performances is the answer. And look, there's been talks of a Dream Factory live show here at HQ. So who knows? if we're struggling to shift tickets, maybe we can promise to wear more clothes.
You know, they say like, oh, you imagine the audience naked to make you feel more comfortable on stage. Just to say, if you're coming, you also have to get naked.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to be naked.
Everyone's naked.
It's completely out of tone of the show in all ways. Like
we probably won't even reference it. Oh dear.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/ACAST, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/ACAST.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Come on, give me another one.
All right, what about this one from Josh? Blue Bar Beetle. So you got Blue Beetle and Blue Barbie.
Blue Beetle, the latest in a film from DC that everyone's very excited about. Is that right?
The best DC film since The Flash. That's what they're saying.
The DC film since The Flash about an insect guy? Is Blue Beetle their Spider-Man?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's what... Apparently,
yeah?
Yeah, yeah, he's... Insofar as he's like a down and out teenager who becomes a bug based superpowers, yeah.
Wow, he's their Spider-Man. I'm telling him now it's not gonna fly in the way that Spider-Man has. I saw a trailer that looked fine, but I'm not invested in the life and times of Blue Beetle.
No, not yet. Okay, have you been keeping an eye on the casting for Superman?
No, but there's loads of guys. There's loads of guys in it, right? Heroes that I've never heard of. And they're called stuff like Big Mike. Are they? Yeah.
That's what I wanted to say.
There's all these superheroes.
Superman and Lois Lane. Fine. And then it's like Dr. Eggbox.
I'm across Superman and Lois Lane. Very, you know, fully expected both of those to pop up in the film. And yeah, every time there's a
carpet expandium. And you're like, what?
Metalhead. I mean, there is a guy... Yeah, people online being like, "What? That's a fucking shit casting."
Not,
what are you talking about?
Not my metal head.
Yeah, there's loads of it's fully gone expanded Superman universe, right? But no one knows Superman characters beyond Lex Luthor, do they?
No, there's like a famous one from the comics called Brainiac, who hasn't ever really been done on the screen. But yes, no, I wouldn't say. But yeah, some of those casting, I'm like, oh, okay. Oh yeah, I think once Mr. Terrific, which is absolutely Mr. Fantastic, that's right?
Mr. Terrific.
It's absolutely nuts.
Hawk Girl, Guy Gardner, and Metamorpho.
Yeah, Metamorpho, that's the one.
His lair's based in Dictionary Corner on Countdown. Right, John, how about one from me?
Yes, please.
Mission Wim Possible. Tom Cruise faces Wim Hof in a series of increasingly uncomfortable climates.
Oh, I love it.
His greatest stunt yet, sitting in an ice bath for half an hour.
Would I watch it? No.
No.
He has to run through he has to do some of his fast running across a big frozen lake.
Well, the good thing about Mission Impossible films is they're fully globetrotting experiences, right? So in this one, it's, you know, Wim drags him to the North Pole and then he drags him to the Sahara Desert. Wim Hof always just wearing the same t-shirt and shorts, and Tom Cruise has to, battle against it.
Is it safe to assume you haven't seen the latest Mission Impossible yet?
I haven't. I'm excited to, though.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, I mean, Wim Hof sort of has the look of a side character from wouldn't be out of place. I could see him there as a sort of sensei, sort of teacher's vibe. So I'm happy with that. Actually, on the subject, my one is also punning on the same film. So Mission Impossible, Dead Wrestling. Tom Cruise fights the undead. The Undertaker is there.
It's good stuff.
I mean, so they're a bit like, but not quite as sort of extreme as the Fast franchise. They are going more and more sort of extreme every time. What's the next time?
That's exactly what I was thinking. They're going to have to go to hell.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're running out of places to go. That's a good point. Fast and Furious might deal with the afterlife at some point.
Yeah. I think at some point, Vin Diesel's a big fantasy guy. So I think at some point it would be loads of fun for them to just be like, fuck it, we're sort of sci-fi fantasy now. It started off as...
We're making Lord of the Rings, but with cars.
It started off as a sort of drag race, a relatively realistic drag race movie. Now Vin Diesel's going to go and punch the devil.
Now it's a dragon race movie, yeah. Oh, it's good stuff. Right, I'm impressed, John. I think we had some really good ideas. Which was your favourite idea of all the ideas that we had?
What did you have? I like the Royal Tennis Bums. What did you get?
Royal Tennis Bums. I would have Royal Tennis Bums as a winner, and we actually need to shoot, John, because as I speak, Joey Chestnut is banging on my door saying that he desperately needs to borrow my toilet. Oh, well done, John.
Hello, Joel.
I would say not my greatest performance on the Dream Factory podcast, and I would put it down to jet lag. I would put it down to the fact that, as you tweeted earlier, I had a kit-based disaster, and I'm using my third choice setup, which is like when, you know, there's an injury crisis at your club and you're fielding academy players and a goalkeeper who hasn't played for 15 years. That's kind of what's happening over here. On my end at the moment.
Joel's like one of those generosity sort of YouTubers where they sort of pretend that they need to borrow a dollar and then they give them back $10,000. But Joel's just out there handing out podcasting equipment because he wants more people podcasting.
I do. I haven't seen enough dog shit podcasts on TikTok where people are sitting around genuinely having conversations that are more boring than conversations I have with, like, you know, my dad about tax. And they're putting it out there, and I'm thinking to myself, we need more of this. And no one's gonna. So I go out into the street and I just pass microphones out to whoever wants one. I'm so generous. Sometimes I like to fly over in a hot air balloon, and I'm just dropping microphones down on the city. So every time you see a new shit podcast,
you're welcome.
I've had a hand in that. And actually, during the pandemic, that sentence was true. Every shit new podcast, I had a hand in. John, how are you doing?
I'm all right. So. It's been 3 weeks and actually quite a lot has happened. Do we want to go through what happened in the world, or should we talk about Australia first?
We can go through what happened in the world.
All right. I'm intrigued about Australia because despite me and Joel being a relatively frequent sort of communication whilst he was away, I don't know anything that he did at all.
Yeah. Okay.
So first, we've got Threads. Threads launched. Mm. You're on Threads, I've seen.
Oh, I'm pretty big on Threads. it's going pretty well for me over on Threads, John.
When
I've opened it Twice.
When Threads launched, we got a comment from listener Lizzie who pointed out that when TikTok started becoming big, we claimed we were going to be the first TikTok millionaires.
Oh, we were going to be the first TikTok millionaires, weren't we? Do you reckon it's too late for that?
I think we're going to be the first Threads billionaires.
Nice. Now, if we don't fulfill that, you do realise we have to promise that whatever the next social media is, we're going to become the first trillionaires. Which I'm not confident of. So we really need to make Threads work, which probably suggests I should open it once or twice. Threads launched. What else happened, John? Because I don't really get much news over in Australia.
Threads is a good excuse for me to say, we're making like social videos now. So they're on like TikTok, on Reels, on YouTube Shorts. They're everywhere. So if you see one, like it, retweet it, share it, comment, say, ha, 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 ha. Make us feel good.
Yeah.
Okay, please.
Please comment ha 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 under every video.
There was the BBC scandal that wasn't a scandal, that isn't a scandal, that is a scandal. Who knows who it is? It's Hugh Edwards. Who knows? That thing.
Yep, good.
No comment.
Big news. No comment.
More importantly than that, Damian Lewis sung the national anthem at the Formula One.
Oh my God. All of this happened so quickly. It was like, I found out Damian Lewis was releasing an album. And then maybe 15 minutes later, Damian Lewis was singing the national anthem at the Formula One. There's so much to digest. Damian Lewis, it feels very much in the Nick Knowles
camp, yeah,
wheelhouse. When is a bored, middle-aged white celebrity going to release an album? And it's going to be like techno.
True.
That's what we want. Imagine if Damian Lewis is like, yeah, I'm releasing an album. It's gangster rap.
Yeah, it's always sort of bad.
If Damian Lewis was releasing a drill album... I'd be there in a heartbeat.
Does he wear the mask?
But it's always bad blues. He wears the mask. Yeah, yeah, he wears a mask. That would be pretty good. And then you found out like the hottest new rapper in the UK was Damian Lewis.
Okay, I'm actually back on board. If you're a middle-aged, bored sort of celebrity, think about becoming an anonymous drill rapper, please.
You really should.
Hollywood is on strike. I mean, you referenced it in the intro, but Hollywood is on strike right now as we speak.
Seems cool.
Look, writers are on strike, but technically we're not part of the WGA, me and Joel. So
nope,
if you need ideas...
How many times have we applied?
Feige, yeah. we're looking at you. If you need a new Marvel film...
I wonder how long the strike would have to go on before you and I were consulted for that sort of thing. At least another fortnight.
Yeah. I'll put like contact details in the bio, Feige, if you want to get in touch to talk about...
Nice. Good idea.
The MCU.
Good idea.
And then the biggest thing that's happened in your absence is videos of bottles falling down stairs and smashing.
Now, that has reached me. Even that reached Australia. People are going crazy for it. And it's so exciting, even though you know in the first half a second whether it's going to break or not. And you basically know at which step it's going to break, right? There's no jeopardy, really. If it's a big, thick jar of pickles, it's probably never going to break. If it's a Bacardi Breezer, that thing's going straight away, you know?
I like a beer where it sort of fizzes at the top and spins out of control.
I like a beer when it fizzes at the top. I like a wine bottle that crushes, just smashes instantly.
There's been a few where they've filled like a bottle with sort of beads, and that's really dramatic when it does smash because beads go everywhere.
Do you just spend the whole time thinking about the clear-up operation?
Yeah, every time I do think, we're seeing about 40 seconds of footage. There's got to be at least 2 hours of clean-up going on.
Yeah, because it's clean every time. It's not like they... So the video is a compilation of 10 bottles being rolled down some stairs. It's great. It's better than Barry. It's better than the bear. But in between each roll, the whole place is completely clean. So it's a serious team they've got working on this.
And also, it looks like they're nice sort of marble stairs a lot of the time. So this isn't, you know, me doing it in my house. It looks like a nice building that they're ruining with these bottles.
Yeah, I think they are. So no, that's good. Good to catch up, John.
There we go.
And I went to Australia. So thanks everyone for listening. We'll be back.
Are you gonna,
same time.
Was it good? Are we genuinely ending?
I had a really good time, John. It took me so long to adjust to the new time zones. I was basically in a spaced out daze for almost all of the trip. But I went to Sydney, Brisbane and Melbourne. I drove from Sydney to Brisbane and stopped at places that you've heard of like Byron Bay and the Gold Coast. And I went in the sea. Despite my fear of sharks.
Oh, well done.
And despite the fact it was winter. So quite a lot going on there. But I splashed around in the sea. That was really fun. I watched lots of Australian sports. I ate lots of Australian meals and had a nice time. But it's actually quite a disappointingly anecdote-free trip. annoyingly.
Unlike that time you went to Germany with the same lot and you were a bunch of sort of tourists decided that you were a boy band and started taking photos with you.
Yeah, exactly. Stuff like that didn't happen, which is really annoying.
Oh.
But maybe I'll tell that story next week if we've got nothing else to talk about. Anyway, John, we've gone on for too long. People have got things to do.
Farewell.
Goodbye.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.